I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
America faces a choice. This is Battleground America. Here's Tara Servatius.
34 years ago, Joe Biden was caught in a plagiarism scandal. What you're about to hear is the mainstream media reporting that scandal.
Democratic presidential candidate Joseph Biden today faces a controversy. 3 weeks ago, at a debate at the Iowa State Fair, he used phrases identical to those delivered by British Labour Party leader Neil Kinnock.
Biden seemed to be claiming Kinnock's vision and life as his own.
Why is it that my wife is sitting out there in the audience? Is the first in her family to ever go to college.
Why is Gladys the first woman in her family in a thousand generations to be able to get the university?
My ancestors who worked in the coal mines in northeast Pennsylvania and come up after 12 hours and play football.
8 hours underground and then come up and play football.
It's because they didn't have a platform upon which to stand.
There was no platform upon which they could stand.
The notion that every thought or notion.
Biden quickly became a punchline on late night TV. Here's Johnny Carson's take on The Late Show.
Now, on the political scene, one of the Democratic candidates is Senator Joseph Biden. Have you seen the problem he's been having? He went around and made a speech. And apparently, he quoted a British politician, took his speech and kind of paraphrased it as his own. And then the press got on him. And then he was charged also with taking part of Bobby Kennedy's speeches. And Biden says, not to worry. He reassured his staff. He said, we have nothing to fear but fear itself.
And that was the end of Biden's presidential bid at the time. Remember, there was only mainstream liberal media then. There was nothing else. Here's mainstream liberal media writing Biden's presidential political obituary at the time.
I mean, this guy comes off this whole thing as a flyweight.
Now Biden says Newsweek is right. His memory had failed him.
And I'd be delighted to sit down and compare my IQ to yours if you'd like, Frank.
Joe Biden was victimized by the truth.
Bye-bye Biden. He may not know it yet, but I think this is going to be very difficult for him to recover.
Is Joe Biden dead meat, yes or no?
I think so.
Bob.
It's in terminal condition.
Terminal? Eleanor.
Yes, unless he comes in third in Iowa.
Morton.
Dying.
I say dead.
Ironically, a lot of those journalists are dead now. Biden just had to live another 34 years till everybody forgot and he could run for president again. He also had to wait for the social and moral fabric of America to unravel enough that journalists would actually cover up his serial plagiarism, his compulsive lies, like they do today, so he could be elected. And he was elected. Now, in a sign of the times, his vice president, Kamala Harris, is caught up in an almost identical set of scandals. But the mainstream media is behaving very differently. This time, they're actively trying to cover it up by lying for her. Folks, when you hear this whole thing, it's an incredible story. Used to be, politicians would have to resign. They couldn't survive plagiarism scandals like this. Well, Kamala Harris just took a second direct hit this morning. The Washington Free Beacon's out with a second plagiarism scandal for her. And this one, folks, is so over the top. In addition to the 13 instances of plagiarism in her book, we'll get to that in a minute. That was last week's scandal. We now have this. She plagiarized almost her entire congressional testimony back in 2007 when she was the district attorney of San Francisco and was looking to run statewide. She testified before the House Judiciary Committee about this loan repayment plan that would repay the loans of people who became prosecutors since they don't make a lot of money. That way they wouldn't have to go into the private sector. So rather than just write her own speech, she plagiarized the speech, and I mean almost in its entirety, of a Republican who had given it on the same issue before the Senate 2 months before. His name was Paul Logley of Winnebago County, Illinois. She ripped it right out of the congressional record, and I mean word for word. She did add a small extra paragraph in one place and an extra line in another, but other than that, it's identical, including the grammatical errors. Of the 1,500 words in his testimony, 1,200 of them, or 80%, were copied verbatim. This, on top of her plagiarism scandal from last week, would finish off a Republican. That one was so bad, the New York Times had to commit fraud to cover it up. Here's what happened. They brought in international plagiarism expert Jonathan Bailey, who admitted, yeah, what she did was plagiarism. But he said it wasn't that bad. Yeah, well, here's the problem. The New York Times only showed him 5 of the 13 passages in the book she wrote that she plagiarized. They kind of didn't mention the rest. And not only did they not tell him about the rest, they didn't tell their readers either. They gigged him, tricked him, really, into saying, okay, yeah, it was plagiarism, but I mean, not bad plagiarism. So, fortunately, he's got a Twitter account. Folks were able to reach out to him. Here's his first tweet upon realizing he was lied to by the New York Times. For those coming here from the New York Times article, I want to be clear that I have not performed a full analysis of the book. My quotes were based on information provided to me by the reporters and spoke only about those passages. He later went on to tweet again that he had reviewed them and it was worse than he had said in the Times now that he had seen the actual plagiarism. That was last week. Today we learn about the speech she stole, just like the one Joe Biden stole way back in the day. And just like Joe Biden, she appears to have faked biographical details to make her seem more lower or working class. Check out this headline in the UK Daily Mail this morning. It was the top article. Headline, McDonald's claims they are missing Kamala Harris's employment records as staff are, quote, sworn to secrecy, unquote. Yeah, they say some of their employment records from the 1980s are like missing and they don't have them anymore. They weren't kept. But here's the weird part of this letter that went out to several of their franchises. At the Alameda branch of the McDonald's, it says that employees were sworn to secrecy about the details of her employment or lack thereof. Folks, if she worked there, why would they need to be sworn to secrecy? Why is that a secret? You'd just say, hey, she was here between these months and yeah, she worked the fryer and off she went. It's, folks, it's because she didn't do it. The UK Daily Mail writes, meanwhile, the campaign has been unable to provide evidence to prove the vice president's claim, such as a photo, pay stub, or a fellow employee that can confirm her employment. But the New York Times, probably lying again, says they've confirmed her employment. Dealt with who? They're the campaign. The campaign said she worked there. Oh, and her friend did too. Wish they'd take that level of proof from Donald Trump. Folks, what a moral contrast.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
With Joe Biden's campaign sunk 30 years ago by these very same allegations, they've just bounced off of her now. Meanwhile, the mainstream media has set out to do what they always do now. Instead of debate you, if you question them effectively, they destroy you. That's right, reporting, folks, that the inspection report for the McDonald's restaurant cited employees for not having hands clean and properly washed. Oh, and one guy forgot to wear a hairnet, just so you know. Why? Because they leave a trail of waste behind them. You could question them, run against them even, but they will destroy you, jail you, which we're finding out about overnight. Nathan Wade, crooked prosecutor Fannie Willis's boyfriend, who she brought on to prosecute Trump, also served as the go-between between Fannie and the White House. We're finding that out overnight. Yeah, so the White House was coordinating Trump's prosecution, which proves what I've been telling you for a long time. This isn't random legal problems caused by Trump's lack of ethics or morals. No, this is the Democrat Party targeting whoever runs against them for destruction. And it'll happen to whoever runs against them in the future, unless we absolutely annihilate them. And folks, I don't know if you heard this. Joe Biden was spelling it out last week. Look, the penalty for challenging them will still be paid even if Trump loses. Biden saying he's going to prison. In fact, Biden says he's only running to try to stay out of prison. Well, now we know who's sending him. This would be the Democrats. We know that thanks to a grilling of Nathan Wade by the Republicans in Congress, where he was forced to admit, because he was under oath, the multiple meetings he'd been to at the White House to coordinate the prosecution of Donald Trump. Anyway, here's Joe Biden talking about what's next for Trump if he fails to beat Kamala Harris. Then maybe even if he wins. Because don't forget, they did convict him on the 34 felony counts.
The same guy. There's three other major cases waiting for him when he loses. And by the way, 34 felonies. And so far, he had to get sentenced. He got the sentence kicked back, but I want to watch that sentence. Look, Donald Trump's not running for you. He's running for himself. I think he's running to stay out of jail.
Again, folks, that was just last week. This shows you what the stakes are for Trump. Can you imagine watching him lose and then watching him hold off in handcuffs? Because that's what's going to happen. And you know who's going to guard him in prison, right? That'd be the Secret Service. He won't survive that. As we've already seen, they have a real history of unsecuring and insecuring the perimeters whenever danger is near so that Trump will walk right into it. What do you think they'll do if they're protecting him in prison? My guess, send a message once and for all to any Republican who would ever dare challenge them again. This is how it ends. You go to prison and then you don't survive long there. Meanwhile, the left seethed with rage that Donald Trump put on that schmuck and went and worked the drive-through line at McDonald's, and with such success and to such love from the public, too. Their coordinated message yesterday was this was actually Trump mocking people who work at McDonald's, a place they haven't bothered to show up. Why? Because Kamala Harris can't handle an unscripted event where the people she interacts with aren't actually paid actors, paid to be nice to her. I'll demonstrate this in just a minute. Here's Tim Walz, her running mate yesterday.
Vice President Harris and I grew up middle class. We understand that. She actually worked in a McDonald's. She didn't go and pander and disrespect McDonald's workers by standing there in your red tie and take a picture.
Or this from AOC.
Donald Trump putting on a little McDonald's costume because he thinks that's what people do. They're not trying to empathize with us. They are making fun of us. Yeah. Donald Trump thinks that people who work at McDonald's are a joke.
Okay, but how do Harris Walz treat the little people? Here's the headline that says it all from the UK Daily Mail. Diners tear into Kamala Harris's campaign for kicking them out of Pittsburgh restaurant to bus in their own crowd for a campaign stunt. A group of diners sitting down to enjoy Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania's famous Premonti Brothers sandwiches were surprised and outraged Saturday after they were told by staff to leave. This is back in August. Why? Because Kamala Harris wanted to film a campaign stop there, but apparently was afraid to actually interact with real people. So they kicked the patrons of Premonti Brothers out and brought in a caravan of paid actors. The UK Daily Mail reports they arrived in a caravan of over a dozen unmarked Ford Transit vans. And it's not the first time. Remember Kamala's Univision town hall with allegedly undecided Latino voters? Yeah, about half of them are actors too. They call them rent-a-crowds. You can get these people by paying companies. They'll bring them in. And about half that crowd was brought in by the company. The other half was flown in by the network. But it's not an isolated incident. The same thing happened at Kamala Harris's supposedly unscripted town hall this weekend. Here's the host, Maria Shriver, to town hall participants who just wanted to ask Her Highness a question.
You're not, unfortunately. We have some predetermined questions, and hopefully I'll be able to ask some of the questions that might be in your head. I hope so.
But who is Kamala Harris really? What does she really think of the peons who she won't meet in any way that's unscripted? This 60-second clip says it all. It's talking about a program she pioneered that is supposed to target certain criminals for deferred prosecution. In other words, let them out, let them roam free with the second chance instead of putting them in prison. One of her first test subjects was an illegal immigrant who seriously injured another person. Listen to how little she gives a damn about the other person and the pain and suffering her policies have caused this person who was victimized by that illegal immigrant, and how hard it was for her to get over the embarrassment of some negative press over the incident. This is exactly who she is in 60 seconds. And she would do to this nation exactly as she did to the victim of the illegal immigrant she released. Horrendous damage with a don't give a damn attitude.
And so when I rolled out Back on Track, a couple years in, we learned that there was basically there was a participant who went out during the time he was in the program, committed a robbery. There was a horrible injury to the victim. And turned out that this individual was an undocumented immigrant. And there was an article that was written and said, Kamala Harris has created a program to shield illegal aliens. And that's when my friends came really in handy to just say, it's, you know, because I was upset about the unfairness and the mischaracterization and don't people want these things fixed? Don't they understand what innovation requires? And that's when you have to rely on your friends who understand what you do and care about you and will support you without judgment, but also give you critical feedback when you need it.
Folks, this is a woman who was border czar during the period when over 243 terrorists, people on the terror watch list, were caught at the border. This is the woman who was border czar when the decision was made to release at least 99 of them. There's another 50 or so whose fate we don't know. They were probably released too. This was the woman who was part of this administration and maybe even in charge, because she was border czar, when these terrorists were deliberately released into the interior. And if one of them kills, you can count on she'll probably be pretty upset about the coverage and how she looks, not the loss of human life. This is who she really is.
With Tara Servatius. Please subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Share with friends, family, and other free thinkers. Thanks for listening.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.